thing in that either, do you? From the judging from the sound of it. All right, go back to Genesis 42. Genesis chapter 42. You won't mind if we review a little bit with you, will you? I just can't hardly move on. Keep rehashing what we looked at already, and we'll review a little bit, lead up to the text in chapter 43 in a moment. Our story is about the sorry sons of Jacob, and that's what they are, a sorry bunch, sinful sons of Jacob, and they're starving. They're going to die if they don't get some corn. And their father tells them that there is corn in Egypt. And so he sends them to Egypt to buy corn. Now this is a clear picture once it's revealed. Like the Proverb 8 says, it's all plain to him that understands. Right to them to find knowledge. But a clear picture of all saints, all believers, God's elect, sons of Jacob, is what they're called. Brother Nybert reminded me that God calls himself by the name of the God of Jacob more than any other title. And I'm glad. Happy is he to have the God of Jacob for his help. These sorry sons of Jacob, and that's what we are. And these sons of Jacob, they were to come before an unknown Lord. They were going to come and appear before an unknown Lord, but their salvation was that He knew them. And that's us. Sons of Jacob. We come, God brings us to where the gospel is. He sends us. We're dying and don't know it. We need one thing. And there's one place it's to be found, and one person that has it. And we don't know it. We don't know Him. We don't fear Him. Yet, but God, rich in mercy, sends us to where Christ is, where the gospel is, sent by the Spirit of God to hear the gospel. In chapter 42, you remember this, verse 7, Joseph saw his brethren. He knew them. They didn't know him. He knew them. And it says, the first thing he did was he made himself strange unto unknown and spake roughly to them. The margin says, hard. Hard thing. He spake rough to them. Made himself strange. And what he said was, he accused them of being spies. He accused them of being there for the wrong reason. He accused them of a lot less than they were guilty of, didn't he? And at first, they denied any wrongdoing, didn't they? Verse 11, they all denied to the man. Oh, they're true men. We're not spies. We're true men. They haven't been brought to see themselves yet, have they? They're going to. Oh, we're true men. We're not spies. We're not dishonest men. We're true men. Yeah, right. Sorry, no good, worthless. Joseph hated him. Sons of Jacob. True men. They all denied. And didn't you? When you first... remind you of that story. My dad reminded me of this again. I know what it was. I was listening to that tape full of illustrations by him. And he was preaching on the TV, and there was a fella down in Pikeville, Kentucky, sitting watching the TV that Sunday morning, and Dad said something about and pointed his finger at the camera and said, "You're a sinner. And you need the mercy of God." And that fella, Mr. Klein was his name, said he got up, went over and turned that TV off, said, "I ain't no sinner." And went back and sat down. He said in a couple minutes he started thinking, "Maybe I am a sinner." And went back and turned the TV on. True story. And God revealed the gospel to that old boy. And John, he's been at Pikeville, a member of the church ever since. And we deny it, don't we? When we first hear the truth about us. But then the Lord of the land, Joseph, so he was, the Lord's rough words began to take their effect. His rough word. Scripture says God's word is like a sword that pierces, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When God finally began to work on you through His all-powerful word, He was revealing the very thoughts and intents of your heart, the wickedness, bringing up your sin before you to reveal what you really are. It's by the grace of God that we hear of our sin and guilt. That's the grace of God. It's the goodness of God. Then it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Joseph didn't have to keep putting up with these fellas. Are you with me? Joseph did not have to reveal himself. Joseph didn't have to have mercy on him. Joseph didn't have to do anything with these sorry fellas. But he did, because he's merciful. And our God, rich in mercy. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Nobody's going to repent of their sin, their guilt before God, unless God leads them to repentance. And all that Joseph did was bringing them to repentance. And then these sorry sons hear from the Lord. Now they finally realize their own guilt. In verse 21, it says they all realized. They said one to another, every one of them, we're guilty concerning our brother, for hating our brother, for wanting to kill our brother, Joseph. They all repented. And Joseph was here listening to them. He didn't know that he could understand them. But he was hearing their groaning. And then they hear from the Lord. The one way that they are going to be pardoned and accepted by Him. Look at verse 15. It says, hereby you shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. You will not go forth hence. You're not going to go free except your youngest brother come here. This is how I'm going to prove you, whether you be true or not. You're not going to go free unless you bring your brother with you. Verse 20, he said it again. Bring your youngest brother unto me, and so shall your words be verified, and you shall not die. If you don't bring that brother that you told me about, the Father's beloved Son, with you, you're going to die. That's the last thing he said to him. You'll not go free. So Joseph revealed to them the one way that they could be set free, the one way that they would be accepted, the one way that they'd see His face again. And God Almighty, by the decree of God, the purpose of God, and Joseph said, by the name of Pharaoh, the life of Pharaoh, and by the name of God Almighty, the living and true God, we will not go free. We will not be free from the law. We will not see God's face. We will not be accepted except the Son come with us. Except in the blood. Well, they heard this, and they feared, and they learned well. They heard this. They believed it, and they learned it well. And our Lord said in John 6, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? They come by faith with Christ. Verses 29 and 30, they heard this well. They came unto Jacob their father. They went back home. And they came unto Jacob their father in the land of Canaan and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man, and he's more than a man, he's a lord of the land. He's a man, but he's a lord. He spake roughly to us, took us for spies of the country. Now, verse 33, and the man, the Lord, that is, of the country. He said unto us, hereby shall I know your truth. Leave one of your brethren with me. Take food for the family of your house. And be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know you're not spies, but they're your true men. So will I deliver you, your brother. And you'll just come and go throughout the land. Free to come and go. Just bring your brother. Bring your brother. Now, every son of Jacob, every sinner whom God Almighty deals with in mercy and grace and reveals the Son to them, at first they don't know too much. They fear God. They know He's sovereign, can do with them as He pleases. But this one thing they all know. They don't know much. But they come away after hearing from God, they know this one thing. They'll not get to God but by one way. They all knew that. All 12, 11 of these brothers, they knew that. There was one way they're going to be accepted by the Lord. Bring the brother. And every one of God's people know this. There's one way to come before a holy, just, and sovereign God. And there's one person whom the Father is well pleased with for His righteousness' sake. The well-beloved, only begotten Son of the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joseph repeated it twice, didn't he? Didn't he? He repeated it twice. And God has spoken once. Throughout the whole Testament, God has one thing to say to the sons of men. Bring the blood. Bring the blood. Bring the blood. Bring the blood. When I see the blood. And then in the New Testament, God has spoken twice. What's He say? Christ. 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 One thing He has to say to the sons of men. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. When I see you in Christ and Christ in you, I'll accept you. And He promised to receive them all, didn't He? Who did He promise to receive? All of them. All of them. All those sorry sons. If they came with the Son. Now, as I said, these sorry sons of Jacob begin to acknowledge their guilt and repent of their sin, and they said, we're guilty concerning our brother. And the Lord of the land, Joseph, understood them. Verse 23. They knew not that Joseph understood them, but he spoke unto them by an interpreter. And we first hear the gospel through a man. And you remember that story of old Champ Clark, don't you? Fella going home with his wife after hearing the preacher preach. And he said, you've been talking to the preacher about me, haven't you? She said, no, honey, I have not. He hasn't spoken at all about you. He said, well, he knows everything about me. No, but God does. And that's who the Lord speaks, and though it's through me, and it's the Lord speaking. And then in verse 24, it says, he turned himself from them and wept. Joseph did. And then he returned to them again after they repented of their sin. He told them the way to come back. Then he communed with them, it said. He communed with them. Again, he's still through an interpreter, but he's talking to them. And those rough words are easing off. Easing off. After they repent. And the rough words turn kind. He starts communing with them. And then he gives them tokens that he is telling them the truth. In verse 25, it says, Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn. Restore every man's money in his sack. And give them provision of what? These sorry sons of God. Once they've repented of what they are and what they've done, he begins to speak kindly to them. Fills their sacks full. Provides them provisions for the way. Isn't that what our God does for us? Huh? In spite of us. And in verse 28, in spite of this, in spite of Joseph's, they don't know it's Joseph, but in spite of the Lord of the land's goodness to them and all that, They're still afraid. They should be. They should be. They shouldn't be presumptuous. In verse 28, they all said to a man, they said, "My money's restored, and even in my sack," and their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, What is God doing? Why is He being so good to us? And isn't that what you think when you first heard the gospel? You thought, this is too good to be true. Why would God have anything to do with me? Why is He doing all this for me? Sorry, son of Adam, that I be. And you don't know if you're a son of Jacob. You don't know if you're one of Joseph's brethren. That's why He's doing it. And they're doubtful, and they're wondering, they're fearful. It reminds me of old Manoah. Remember the story of Manoah? Where that he... save that for later. And in chapter 43, this brings us to chapter 43. Well, they get hungry again. They get hungry again. They get down, hungry, starving. That's what sons of Jacob do. And they need to go back to Egypt before the Lord of the land. They need to go back. And now they know Him, though. They know something about Him. They fear Him now. They went down to Egypt the first time just to get corn. And they probably came in that place, you know, full of pride. Well, they did. They didn't know themselves. They didn't fear the Lord of the land. They didn't know their lives were in danger. They came into Egypt thinking, we're just going to buy us a little corn and we'll get out of this place. We just need something for our belly. Not knowing they needed mercy at the hands of the Lord. And if He who knows them, who sees them coming, doesn't spare them, they're going to die. Well, He reveals Himself, and now they know Him. And they got to come back to Him. They know Him now. They fear Him now. They don't come back proud and presumptuous, do they? They don't come back. They need corn. They need daily bread. They need that. Now they're coming back hoping He'll spare them. Hoping He'll have mercy on them. They fear Him now. They fear Him. And you know, Judah speaks on behalf of them all. Oh, Judah. Look at verse 3. Go down to verse 3. Well, let's read verses 1 and 2. The famine was sore in the land. It came to pass when they'd eaten up the corn which they brought out of Egypt. See, we need new grace, don't we? New grace. And their father said unto them, see, the father sends them back to Joseph. Go again, buy us a little food. Judah spake up. Judah spoke on behalf of all of them. This is the testimony of Judah. This is the solemn vow of Judah. On behalf of all of them. This is their testimony. The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. And if thou wilt send thy brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. The man said to us, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. We can't go. We can't go before this great sovereign Lord unless Benjamin be with us. And I'm not going unless you send him. We've seen him. We've seen his glory. We've seen his power. He held us in his hand. He put us in prison. He spoke rough to us. We learned our lesson. We're not going back, Dad, unless Benjamin's with us. Is that what you think, Simeon? Yes, sir. What about you, Levi? I ain't going back there without Benjamin. Judah? Well, Judah's the one to say it. Issachar or whatever their name was. That's right. Every one of these sons of Jacob knew this. We can't go back to this sovereign powerful Lord without the Son. Your beloved Son. And every single one whom God Almighty reveals Himself to knows it. And this is why we call on the Father in Christ's name.
He tells us to do that. Whatsoever you ask in Christ's name. We call on the Father in Christ's name. This is the faith of God's elect. This is a solemn vow of God's people. God hear us. God accept us. God receive us. God deliver us. God have mercy on us. God give grace to us. God provide for us. God, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And then so the Father says to them, down in verse 11 through 14, their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, now do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessel. And carry down the man a present. A little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand. The money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack. That mysteriously got there. That money. Carry it again in your hand. Maybe it was an oversight. And take also your brother. And arise. Go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So the Father says to them, take all this and your brother, and may God Almighty have mercy upon you. So the Father sent the Son. He sent the Son. With these sons of Jacob. And what a picture. What a picture this is. And, you know, I thought about this. Several ways you could look at this. You know, we're commanded of God to bring forth the first fruits. Huh? The best. First fruit. God tells us. What is it that we offer unto God? We're not accepted for our works. But, he says, bring the sacrifice of your lips, the fruit of praise and thanksgiving, sacrificing the first fruits unto God, the best. And this is a picture of every sinner who hears the gospel. They're grateful to God for His mercy, and they come to God wanting to bring the best to Him, wanting to bring His all to the God who's had mercy on them. But, you know, Jacob doesn't really understand here, and the sons of Jacob don't really understand that Joseph said, there's one thing. He's looking for one thing. What? Well, getting ahead of myself. There's one whom the Lord is looking for when they come back. All right. Verse 15. So they left. All these sons of Jacob. And Benjamin is with them. And the men took that present. And they took double money in their hand. And Benjamin. And rose up. And went down to Egypt. And stood before Joseph. Here we are. Here they stand before the great Lord of the land. What's their hope? What's their hope? Now, they're changed men. They really are. They've had a change of heart. God did. Is that their hope? No, though they are changed, yet they're still sinners. Aren't they? And they've repented. They've repented of what they've done. They're sorry for what they did. They acknowledge what they've done. They're still guilty. What's their hope? Huh? How do you reckon they're standing there before this great Lord of the land? You know, the first time, I can see them. Can't you see them? Standing before the, maybe chewing gum, you know, looking around. Well, this is a fine place you got here, Mr. Ruler. I sure like this place, Egypt. Yeah. That'd be a nice little place. You like it? You know, just proud and haughty and all that. Oh, yeah, by the way, we need a little corn. How do you reckon they're standing there now? To this man will I look, God says. He that is poor and of a contrite heart trembleth at my word. To this man will I look in mercy and grace and salvation, God said, and him that feareth me I'll show my covenant. I'll review my covenant. God will have mercy on them that fear him. They're standing there trembling. They're trembling in their day. Standing before him. They know who he is now. One of their brethren is held in chains. They're broken. They're humble. They're trembling. You know, the Scriptures, this is more than just a story, people. The Scripture says we must all appear before the judgment seat of God. And the reason people don't tremble when they hear that is because they don't know God. But God's people do. They understand something of the thrice holy God, sovereign God, just God. He said, I'm a just God. He will by no means clear the guilty. These are the rough things that God says to all of His people at first. I will by no means clear the guilty. The soul that sinneth must surely die. And every son of Jacob whom God reveals the truth to causes the fear of the Lord. And then God in mercy and grace reveals to them the well-beloved Son. The only way to be accepted. So I'll accept you if you come by faith in my Son. That's the only way. That's the only way. Don't bring anything. In your hand, no price should you bring. Come by faith in Christ. Well, as I said, what's the sons of Jacob's hope? The money? They got double money. The fruit? It's good fruit. Best fruit of the land. No. They're sincere. They're really sincere now. With all their heart, they've come here. Is that it? No. Verse 16 says, when Joseph saw Benjamin, it's like he didn't even see them, John. They're all 11 of them stand before him, 10 of them. Another one of them's in prison. And it says, Joseph, he looked, he saw one person. All of them are standing there, but he sees one. He sees Benjamin. What did he do? Hey, look at this. Verse 16. He said to the ruler of his house, he said, bring these men home. Bring them in the house. Open the doors and bring them home with me. And slay, kill the fatted calf. Make ready, prepare a place. These men are going to dine. There he is, the one I'm looking for. All because the Son's with him. Now the Scriptures, Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? The Father opens up the door of heaven to all the people that come to him by Christ. The Father killed the fatted calf, but lamb slain for all of his people. The Father prepared a place. Christ prepared a place for all those. And he says, come and dine. All things are ready. Why? Why? Because we're sincere. Because we've turned over a new leaf. Because he sees Christ. He sees us in Christ. We're accepted in the beloved. Old Joseph being awful gracious to him and these sorry sons of Jacob. Huh? And it's to the praise of the glory of old Joseph's grace, wherein he hath made them accepted in Benjamin. Well, they still don't believe it. They still don't believe it. They said, there's a catch. He brings the ruler of the house. Who's the ruler of the house? Who has Joseph put over his house? Who has Christ put over his house? Huh? He went back to the Father and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Who did he put over his house? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that revealed these things to us. The Lamb that's slain and so forth. And tells us to come and dine. Well, and the man did as Joseph bade. He did what he was told. That's what Christ said of the Holy Spirit. Did all things. He'll take the things of mine and show them unto. He won't speak of himself. We don't even hear this man's name. Well, he brought them into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid, verse 18. They were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. Again, like old Manoah. And they said, it's because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time we were brought in. He's going to seek occasion against us. He's going to fall on us. He's going to take us. He's going to keep us as unwilling slaves. He's after us. He's going to get us. God's ways, you know, God's thoughts are higher as the heavens are above the earth than ours. God's way. This is not the way of man. It's the way of God. But they think, well, this is all too good to be true, and we're still guilty, and surely we're going to get what's coming to us. Surely we're going to get what's coming to us. No, he hath not dealt with them according to their sins, has he? Joseph had not dealt with them according to what they deserve, and he's not going to. Why? Why? Benjamin's with them. Benjamin's with them. As long as the son's with them, they're okay. But they still don't believe it. Verse 19 and 20. So they asked the ruler of the land. Verse 19. They came near to the steward of Joseph's house and they communed with him. They wanted to talk with him at the door of the house. They said, "Oh, sir. Oh, sir. We came down here just to buy food. Now our lives are in danger. What's going on? What's happening?" Verse 21, it says, they told the story. They recounted the story of all that happened to them. Verse 23, and the ruler of the house said unto them, "Peace be. Fear not." And this is what the Holy Spirit, commanded by Christ, says through the preaching of the gospel to all them that fear God and come unto God by Christ. This is what he said, "Peace. Your God, fear not. Your God, who did this? Your God. The God of your father." Who? Who's that? The God of Jacob. He did all this. He did all this. He's given you treasure in your sack. He gave you your money back. I had your money. He told me to put it back. And then he brought Simeon out. Released unto them one of their brethren. My, my. And look at verse 24. It says, the man brought him into Joseph's house. It's all Joseph's house now, isn't it? It's Joseph's house. What's the church? It's Christ's house. It's a church of Christ. Verse 24, he brought them into Joseph's house and gave them water to wash their dirty, stinking feet. Gave their asses problems. That is provided for them. And in verse 25, they made ready the present against Joseph came. They heard they were going to eat there. There was a table prepared for them right in the middle of that land. Egypt was an enemy to the Hebrews. But here they prepared them a table right in the midst of their enemy. They rang there. Well, verse 26, then Joseph came home. Then he came home. And they brought in the present, which was in their hand, into the house. And they bowed themselves to him to the earth. In fear and trembling and gratitude, they bow down. And wasn't this prophesied in the beginning? Didn't he say they'd do this? Huh? Aren't you glad God's given commandment to save you? Made you bow? You wouldn't bow unless he made you bow. Aren't you glad? Made you fear his name? Aren't you glad he gave you repentance? Aren't you glad he revealed Christ to you? The only way? Lest you come some other way and be counted a thief and a robber. Aren't you glad? What's that make you want to do? Prostrate yourself for him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's what they're thankful. They're thankful. They're still fearful, but they're thankful. And then again, verse 29, Joseph lifted up his eyes and he saw his brother Benjamin. He can't take his eyes off of Benjamin. And it says his bowels yearned for him. Verse 30, his bowels did yearn upon his brother. He saw Benjamin. And down in the last verse of this chapter, it says he took them, he took them into his house, set before them messes. He spread a big feast before them all. Oh, these sorry, no good sons of Jacob. Ought to be dead. Ought to be in prison. But no, where are they sitting? At the king's table. Why? Because Benjamin's with them. And what did the Lord do? What about Benjamin? What did he give him? Five times. Five times more than Mary. He's worthy, isn't he? Isn't that what Philippians 2 says? Because he did all this, God hath given him a name which is above every name. Huh? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess he's Lord of the land. And they drank, it says. They all drank, ate and drank, and were merry with him. It says they drank largely. Big time. They were happy now. They were happy now. They finally realized, hey, this is a good man. This is a merciful Lord. This is a gracious, kind, merciful Lord. He's true. Whatever he says, he'll do it, won't he? Oh, he has spared us. He's shown mercy to us. And he did exactly what he said. He told us if we'd come through the Son, we'd be accepted. And look at us. And now he himself's eating with us. What a merciful Lord. And what a merciful God we have because of the Son. We're accepted in the Beloved. Next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we're going to look at the silver cup in the Son's sight. For a son made guilty. That's good. It gets better. That's chapter 44. Read it in preparation for next Wednesday night. Okay, we got a spread downstairs, and it's in honor of our sister Roberta Soar. It's her birthday, her 70th birthday. You didn't know? You actually didn't know? Well, I'm thankful. on behalf of this church, we want you to know how much we love you. Appreciate you. This woman and her husband have been here 100 years. Henry looks it, Roberta doesn't. She's 70, you never would have known it, would you? Never would have known. Sweet, faithful, gracious, Christ-like lady who's been here many years, was here before I got here, received me with open arms and still here. Still listening. And we thank the Lord for her, the grace that he's bestowed upon her, and you mean a lot to this congregation. We thank you for all that you are and thank the Lord for you. All right, I'm going to give thanks for the food, and this will be the benediction also. Stand with me. Our God and our Father, we thank you now more than when we came. For Christ, our
acceptance, the beloved Son. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Son, Son of your love, and how you've given us all things with Him freely. Oh, we see the mercy and grace and love of our God in Christ our Lord. Sorry, sons of Jacob, though we be, Thou art the God of Jacob, and we're so glad. And we're so thankful you brought us into your house to dine with you for Christ's sake. Lord, thank you for the table you continually spread before us, the gospel table full of fat things and wine on the lees. And we do drink largely with you time and again. We thank you, Lord, for Christ's sake. And we thank you for this dear lady. Thank you for your mercy, love, and grace that you've so evidently shown to her. Thank you for revealing yourself to her. And thank you for her testimony that you've given her, faithfulness over all these years to the cause of Christ. We ask that you would continue to bless her spiritually and physically, and keep her with us for many years to come, according to thy will. We pray and give thanks for all these things once again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.